If I was to step down out of glory this very moment, where would you be? Would you be in my presence, or would you be someplace else? No one knows the day, the hour, or the time that I will come back again for my bride. So are you ready? At every given second, are you ready for my return? Are you living a life that pleases the Father? Are you walking in my spirit, moved by my spirit? I am calling on to my people this night. There is a wicked generation out there that does not know me. Are you ready to bring in the harvest? I, the Lord thy God, I am that I am that I am. I share my throne with no one, but I invite everyone to the throne room. You have seen nothing yet, but you will. Where will you be standing when it all comes together? Your life has to be pure and holy. I've called you to righteousness over and over again. What you do in secret isn't secret to me. I see it all and I know it all. Is your face real or is it plaster? The one you put on for the world to see. I see you in your closets. I see you in your bedrooms. I see you in your sins. I see you right now. I hear every thought. I feel every emotion. Why am I speaking to you like this? The hour is late and far overdue. We have work to do for the kingdom of heaven, and it is not getting done quickly enough. In an instant, in a blink of my eye, it's all going to break loose. Where will you be? Will you be at the threshold? Or will you be afar off? Humble yourself before a humble God this night. Seek not your own understanding any longer. Why do you sit and prepare your speeches? Why don't you let my Holy Spirit move and speak through you? Your agendas do not impress me, but my glory. My glory filling the temple is what I'm looking for. Tonight, I'm going to instruct you in the way you should be living. I'm going to be telling you of my heavenly line up. Check yourself. Be honest with yourself. If there's change that needs to be needed, then change. But if you're okay, well, you're still not okay, because there's another level for you to go to. Search for that level, climb higher, and become all that I've called you forth to be. These are the days of fruition. These are the days that I want to bring my family into all that heaven has for them. Get in the flow. Get in the flow. Father, I truly do thank you for your word. I thank you that you're here in our midst. And Father God, I truly do thank you that you're still performing miracles, even as the teaching goes on, because that's what you are. You are a miracle-working Father. We need to understand we don't need hands laid on us, Father God. We just need to be in your presence. God can, you know, God can drop at any given second. Do what he ever so desires to do. Don't put him in a box. You know, every time we meet, there's a new learning curve. Something new that God is wanting to teach us that he hasn't yet taught us. Or sometimes something he just wants to go over, because he knows that we have forgotten what he's taught us. Now tonight, God is going to talk about what's going to keep you out of heaven and what's going to take you to hell. But this is more or less so that you understand what's going on, so you can tell the new converts that you're going to be ministering to. This is a refresher course, because the new people think the way they're living's fine. There's church people thinking the way they're living is fine, but it's not fine in God's eyes. So don't be getting yourself all upset. I'm not accusing you of anything. God's not accusing you of anything. He's just trying to teach you something tonight. Is it Vianna? Which one's Vianna? All right. God wants you to start, if you haven't already, to start web or whatever you call it, about fashion for the Christian woman. How they should dress, you know, to please the Father. He told me that the other day, but I'm telling you that now. He reminded me that I forgot. Okay, let's start here, Brad. Is the sinful pleasure you now enjoy worth spending forever in hell for? Jesus made it crystal clear to both saint and sinner alike that any person who chooses even one sin to be more important to them than him will be doomed to the place he described as a dwelling place of gruesome, ceaseless torment. I want to stop here and say that Brother Jake, Reverend Jake's here tonight. One time he told me, he said, you know, you've been preaching long enough, you can just get up and preach anything. But I can't. Unless God gives me the message, or unless God speaks it through me, I can't do that. Religious people can. But I can't. When you walk in the Spirit, everything has to be said by the Spirit. I'm not saying he's religious. At that point, he was religious. That was years ago when I first met him. See, we have to walk by the Spirit. We have to do everything that the Spirit's telling us to do. Did I thoroughly embarrass you? You love me still, right? I wasn't trying. I'm just chiding with him. But that just came to me to let you know that everything you do has to be led by the Spirit. It can't be what you want to do. It's what he's telling you to do. All right, let's get back here to Mark 9:42. If one of these little children believes in me, and someone causes that child to sin, it will be very bad for that person. It would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be drowned in the sea. If your hand makes you sin, cut it off. Please don't do this. It is better for you to lose part of your body and have eternal life than to have two hands and go to hell. There the fire never stops. If your foot makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to lose part of your body and have eternal life than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye makes you sin, take it out. It is better for you to have only one eye and enter God's kingdom than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. The worms that eat the people in hell never die. And that is true because I've been to hell. And that is very true. It's utter torment. And the worms are going in and out of your body. The fire is there. And you're screaming, I want it, I want it. No, I don't want it, I don't want it, I want it. You're in utter torment. The fire there is never stopped. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if it loses its salty taste, you can't make it good again. So don't lose that good quality of salt you have and live in peace with each other. In light of this scripture, let's imagine that you died in sin and it was 100 years into the future. There you are in hell, experience excruciating pain and isolation, outer darkness, you can see nothing. You were fully conscious and reeling in the agonizing remorse of the decision you made in your brief earthly life to keep your sin instead of repenting and forsaking it. There's all kinds of sins, guys. During your short life on earth, God granted several opportunities for you to turn fully to Him. Still, you chose to ride the popular modern church wave of once saved, always saved security. That is a lie from the pits of hell. The Word of God itself says, work out your salvation. How? Daily. So once saved, always saved is not true. Just because you said the sinner's prayer and attended church service does not make you saved. Yet you retain the sin you knew God said would endanger your eternal soul. And you, that is what the problem is with the church today. The church tells you God's full of grace, God's full of grace. You can keep on doing whatever you live any lifestyle you want, God's grace. That is not true either. God does give us grace. Thank God for that. But He doesn't give you grace to keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning when you know better. Our Galatians 5:19, the wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Committing sexual sin, being morally bad, doing all kinds of shameful things, worshiping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, all right. Being jealous, angry, or selfish, causing people to argue and divide into separate groups. Being filled with envy, getting drunk, having wild parties, and doing other things like this. I warn you now, as I warned you before, that people who do these things will not have a part in God's kingdom. You freely refused to cut off the hand and pluck out the eye of your sin, and now you're trapped forever in incarceration where the fire is not quenched in hell, in other words. Is your sin really worth spending eternity in hell for? Is peeking at pornography worth spending your hell for? You have to think about these things. You can't do these type of things and expect to go to heaven. You just can't. Is the sin you have chosen to continue in, keep instead of rejecting, you continue to do it, you're keeping it, you're not rejecting it, really worth the everlasting pain and damnation in hell, while the righteous rejoice in sublime, unimaginable pleasure, joy, and bliss in heaven with Jesus? I had somebody die on me. I thought they were going to heaven. They thought they were going to heaven. But the week before they died, they kept looking in the corner, not at the ceiling, but in the corner, and yelling, get away, get away, get away. I didn't know what they were doing. I thought they were hallucinating. And I can't imagine why I didn't understand there was a devil there waiting for that person. I guess God didn't want me to know that, because the person said to me, "You have power. You can make that thing leave the room." And I kept saying, "I don't see anything." And then when he died, he went to hell. Every bit of life was sucked out of his body. He was nothing but bone lying there with the skin over it. And then I knew. And I don't believe there's any way he couldn't have went to hell, or I know God would have said to me, "There's a demon in that corner waiting for him to die." I've been with a lot of people who have died, and they've always looked up, always had a smile on their face, and just couldn't wait to go to heaven. But this wasn't, and I've witnessed this, saints, you do not want to go to hell. That man was in total agony, to right at his last breath, screaming, "No, no, get him away from me." It is real. Hell is as real can get. And you think these little things you do behind, back in the corner where nobody can see you, you know, is you don't have to worry about it. You have to worry about it, because God sees all things. He knows every thought. Fellow citizens of this world, if your life is not currently laid down flat before the Lord Jesus Christ in utter humility and brokenness for immeasurable wickedness and depravity you have committed in the full and plain sight of the omnipresent eyes of His holiness, you have no real eternal security with Him. I forgot to tell you, this guy here went to hell, and then God sent him back and told him to warn the people. So he wrote this article, and at the very end he said, "Please share this with everybody else." So that's why I'm giving this tonight. And he said he doesn't want anybody to go to hell and experience just a little bit that he experienced in hell. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have told you that. So let's go back and read that again. Fellow citizens of this world, if your life is not currently laid down flat before the Lord Jesus Christ in utter humility and brokenness for immeasurable wickedness and depravity you have committed in the full and plain sight of the omnipresent eyes of His holiness, you have no eternal security with Him. You know, I don't speak like this, and I try to change it, and God said, "It's not your testimony." So I left it exactly the way it was, the way it is. The flames of eternal damnation, which will forever feed upon your separated soul, await your arrival. This is a description of the eternal home of all who are not presently living in the fear of God and in faithful obedience to Christ. There's no fear of God in the house of God. If there was fear, you wouldn't be doing the things you're doing. Because I tell you, He's going to come upon you like a thief in the night. You never know when you're going to draw your last breath. You need to get it right and keep it right. Violent flames. I'm sorry. This is a description of the eternal home of all who are not presently living in the fear of God and in faithful obedience to Christ. Violent flames rage like endless waves that roar in a fierce ocean tossed to and fro by hurricane winds. Deafening voices shriek hopelessly, tormented in the turbulent fire that dominates our defenseless souls. 1 million years have passed, and yet there is not a trace of relief from the horrifying torment that has enveloped their helpless souls. In hell, all your flesh is gone. It's burned away. And it's just your skeleton, and you're reaching and grabbing with this, with skeleton hands. And you, all right, so let's say that you were a glutton. You're saying, "Give me more, go, give me more." And as you're gorging it in your mouth, you're puking, no, I don't want it. Give me more, no, I don't want it. It's utter torment. It's utter torment. And if you're a sex fiend, you're, "I want sex, I want sex, I want sex." No, and then you're having sex. No, I don't want it. It's too much. Are you understand what this is really what goes on? I saw this with my own eyes. This is really what goes on in hell. So whatever you think is pleasure, whatever sin you think is pleasure here, you're going to have that when you go to hell, and it's going to be utter torment. I don't know where I'm at. 1 million years have passed, and yet there is not a trace of relief from the horrifying torment that has enveloped their helpless souls. Vivid memories of their earthly life, when they had precious opportunity to escape this horrible fate, torment their bitter and remorseful beings. Doesn't it say in the Bible where Jesus walks the corridors of hell and the people say that they want to receive Christ now, but it's too late? Something to that effect. Now remember, you're being told this so that you can tell your friends who are not saved. And if you have to hear it too, that's fine. But this is so you can know how to minister to the lost and the undone. Welcome to the world of departed souls who died after refusing to apply the only cure to their deadly disease. Behind the thin veil of life on earth lies a real forever world. Welcome to a profile of the afterlife. There's another world out there, guys. And you really don't want to go to it. You honestly don't. I'm hearing God say, purify your thought life. Get your mind lined up with the mind of Christ. There is no pain in this life so cruel nor permanent that can possibly be compared to what the Son of God described and warned of when he spoke of hell, that dreaded place of God's holy wrath. Here is a punishment profile of what lies ahead for all who die outside their real Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now you have, I'm not going to read it because you have this, okay? One of those papers is that. And that's a profile. I think I wrote that above that too. Here is a punishment profile of what lies ahead for all who die outside the real Lordship of Jesus Christ. God sees all your sins and will pull the curtains back and roll the tape of your life on Judgment Day. See that? Every single thought and deed of your life is on file with God. Remember Brother Brett's testimony? He said God showed him, he was standing in every person, he ever did anything to filed past him, and he knew exactly what he had done to that person. Is that how it was, Brother Brett? So everybody, he might have forgot people, but everybody, God knows everything. He made provision to remove, He made provision to remove and desires to forgive, and God desires to forgive all. Every sin you did up until this point, and you can tell this to your new converts, every sin you did up to this point, God forgives you. And he doesn't want you to sin no more. You're forgiven. If you die without his forgiveness, you will face the Almighty on Judgment Day in the Supreme Court of the universe as a guilty sinner who refused to repent and be pardoned. In trembling ruins, you will stand shameful and without excuse before a holy God. Now, our sins include cursing, lying, adultery, hatred, cheating, slander, strife, idolatry, dishonor, murder, stealing, fornication, unforgiveness, and not putting God first in your life. And taking God's name in vain. Somebody walked into my study the other day and they cursed God with everything that they could think of to use his name in vain. And I stood up and said, you won't ever do that again in my presence. All right, Proverbs 15:3. The Lord sees what happens everywhere. He watches everyone, good and evil. In Revelation 20:15, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Obedience or hatred. Saving faith is always active and obedient of every one of those who claim to know him and do not particularly and daily deny themselves, take up their crosses of crucifixion gratifying their earthly lust and perform His will, He foretells their destiny. You know, this sex thing has gone completely into hell as far as it can go. And I can't believe women and men sitting around playing with herself. Go buy a doll. No, don't do that. Instead of sitting around playing with yourself, what you need to do is be reading your word. All this junk that they say is good out there, and a lot of people think it is because they saw an awful lot of it, that's going to take you straight to hell. Your body was not for you to play with. With men, it was you're supposed to produce a seed. With women, you're supposed to nourish that seed and produce a child. Other than that, that's all God intended for that body. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, now listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Make no mistake, hell awaits all who were once right with God and are now living outside of His complete lordship over their personal lives. Remember I told you, be careful who lays hands on you. And I say that for many reasons, but one time there was a man that I knew, and he laid hands on somebody, and God said, stop him. Because he, you know, does sexual things he shouldn't do with his hands. And I don't want that passed on to somebody else. So if you don't have clean hands, if you're playing around with yourself or something like that, keep them to yourself. But you people, you need to be careful who you allow to lay hands on you. I'm telling you. Because they transfer their demonic things into you. Ezekiel 33:12 says, there's more, son of man. Tell your people, a good person's good life won't save him. Yeah, a good life's not going to save you when he decides to rebel, and a bad person's life won't prevent him from repenting of his rebellion. A bad person could repent and be better than you. A good person who sins can't expect to live when he chooses to sin. See that? Do you know how many people sit in the house of God that are not living a godly life? And they think they're all right, they're going to go to hell. God does know your heart. He knows it's cold and indifferent. And He knows you have no fear of God. And that's why you continue down that path that you're on. It's true that I tell good people, live, be alive, but if they trust in their good deeds and turn to evil, that good life won't amount to a hill of beans. They'll die for their evil life. That was in the Message Bible, and that's why it speaks like that. As we see clearly in the above text, the Almighty judges your life by your current state of heart. And all of your past righteousness are not remembered if you are not completely bowed down under His holiness and lordship at this moment. Do we still wish to define truth based on how it fits our own lifestyle instead of how our eternal judge gave it to us in His word? We all know and can attest to the Bible's truth that there is an opportunity to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and yet Hebrews 11:25 and 1 Timothy 5:6 says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Sin brings spiritual death. Righteousness by the blood of Jesus and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit brings life and blessings untold now and forever. Find that in Romans. Start with chapter 5. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of coming into a house of God and people putting on that little smile, that little false face. when they've just committed sin before the... I've known people like this who just committed sin before they come in into the house of God, and they walk around and act like everything's just fine. Raise your hands, praise the Lord, you know. Full of sin, a sin nature. You know, God said the days of Ananias and Sapphira are going to come upon into the church. And what happened? The Holy Spirit killed them. Dropped them dead right in the spot, right in the church. What if you're in here just throwing around, raising your hands in the air and shouting and carrying on, and you're full of sin, and next thing you know, we think you're in the spirit and you've been struck dead. God said he's going to bring that back into the house of God. And I make sure my life's right. Wouldn't you be embarrassed if you were here acting like you're all holy and everything else and God strikes you dead? I serve a holy God, have always served a holy God, and will always serve a holy God, and I believe in holiness. You can't preach the word. You can't minister to other people if you're half in and half out. There isn't such a thing, but you think there is. You have to be totally, completely holy, 100%. Come on. Sure, security check. Still not sure where you currently are with the Lord? You want to know? The word says that without faith it is impossible to please him in Hebrews 11:6. Heart faith that saves the soul is obedient to the one in whom its trust fully rests. If you are right with God, you are literally active and fruitful in the following things he commanded. Who are we lying to but ourselves? 1 John 2:3-4, here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments, period. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar, and his life doesn't match his word. You men and you women who think that this sex thing is so, I don't know why I'm on this, but, you know, here it is. This sex thing is so great. You know, I was married to my husband. Teresa Ann was 2 months old, and he told me he came home. He'd been running around. He told me he didn't love me anymore, and he was never going to touch me again. But he knew that I didn't want to have a divorce in the family, because my kids were never going to be brought up the way I was with a divorce, and what it brings a lot of pain. He said, "We can live together, but I'll never touch you again." I was just as hot and spicy as you girls are at 25. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, take every desire out of my body. I want to live a holy life, and I don't want to dishonor you. Take every desire so that I don't sin. I was married that man 45 years and never had one desire. I wasn't dead, I was fully alive like I am now. But I didn't want that, because it would have been sin, and I wanted to raise my children in a godly home, and I did. So don't tell me that God won't do the same thing for you. Don't tell me you have to go buy a toy. You don't. You need to cry out to God, take this away from me. Are you understanding this? You really don't want to go to hell. You don't want the world that God's going to send in here to go to hell. You don't want your best friends to go to hell. And so it's up to you to tell them the truth about holiness, to tell them the truth about what they can and cannot do. I'm sorry, but there's too many preachers out there saying, if it feels good, do it. That's not true. That's what has torn families apart. This stupid sex. And what God told me when I first started, he said that my people don't know love, they know lust, L-U-S-T. And it is destroying the world. And that was, what, how many years? That was in the 70s. So we see what it has done to the world. The world is a total mess. Why do you think our children are in captivity the way they are? You had to be a really perverted mind, man or woman, because women do it too, to have sex with a child. Your mind has to be totally warped around something. It's not the mind of Christ. I know this is getting open, but we need to be open in order to heal, in order to understand the truth. I have seen so many kids. I was just about raped by my grandfather 3 different times, but God in his mercy intervened and it didn't happen. He was a perverted man. But I have seen so many that weren't, God didn't intervene. But I had a praying grandmother who prayed for me every day of her life. And the ones where God didn't intervene because he had nobody praying for him, their lives were messed up until God can get them. They get, find Christ and get prayer and get deliverance and really realize that Jesus does love you. And I'm sorry for anybody who had to go through that. Just being tied to a bed naked and somebody standing there naked telling me what they're going to do to me horrified me. So I can imagine what it's, no, I can't imagine what you go through for it to actually happen. And God does love you. If it happened to you, God does love you. And don't blame God. Please don't blame God. And see, whatever you went through, now you can use as a testimony to help other girls who have gone through it. What your testimony is, yes, you went through a horrible thing, but God kept you alive, and now let God use you for his glory. All right. We are so close to God sending in the converts. And you guys are just really close to being all that God wants you to be. And if you're sitting in here tonight and you're still playing with yourself, you need to stop it right now. You need to go home and empty out your drawers and get rid of that junk, because it's taking you straight to hell. If you ever notice anybody does that, they're angry most of the time. I've witnessed that. They're angry most of the time. What is it? It's hell working on you, destroying you. So, yeah, there's no little sin, no big sin. Sin is sin. Well, I don't do what she does. Doesn't matter. It's still sin. And pastors even tell, well, you know, that little sin God overlooks. No, he doesn't. He sees, you'll be surprised what's going to be in your book whenever you stand before him on judgment day. And, you know, if you're in here tonight and really, you men go through the same thing. Fathers and mothers both rape men, too. If you're in here tonight and this happened to you, just right now, let God just wash you clean on the inside. Let him bring you to a place where you can forgive that person that did it and forget about it. And move on. I'm not going to say it won't come back every now and then to torment you, but you don't have to pick it up. But let God just once right now come in and cleanse you, purify you, and make you whole once again. All right, what God is saying, if you're here tonight and you're sick and tired of what the enemy has done in this sex world, because that's really bad right now. If you come up, he's going to give you an anointing to fight this sex thing and try to bring morality back into the world. He wants to give you anointing to be able to fight this thing in the spirit, not in your flesh.